Bibles, if you would. Exodus chapter 21. And pick up where we left off last week. I think the recording got corrupted last week, wasn't it? Was that last Wednesday or the last Wednesday that I preached? It was 2 weeks ago. So I wanted to show you one thing, maybe a kind of a little bit of a circle back, but not much. But let's go ahead and begin reading where we left off last time. We're down here in verse number 20. If a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall be surely punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. If any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And if a man smite the eye of his servant, or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smite out his manservant's tooth, or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. If an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. Whether he have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to his judgment shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and the ox or the ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good, and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. And if one man's ox hurt another's, that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also shall they divide. Or if it be known that the ox hath used to push in time past, and his owner hath not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us this book, and we know that no part of it is useless. And so we ask you tonight to speak to our hearts, Lord. I pray that you'd just minister the word of God, give us clarity of understanding. Some of these things, Lord, seem a little off to us because of our brainwashing, because of our culture. And so I pray you'd help our minds to be on properly, and that the mind of Christ to be in us, and that, Lord, you'd help us to see these things, and that we'd have greater faith in the word of God and a greater understanding and wisdom in our own lives as a result of it. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so we looked last time, we kind of wrapped up over there in verses 18 and 19 about what happens when a couple guys get into a fight. And we talked about that. We talked about how he's got to pay his loss of time and he's got to pay for him to be healed. Remember that? In verse number 20, it says this: if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod and he die under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. Now, this is a little bit of a hard passage because it looks like there's a different rule for somebody that's a servant as opposed to your average guy on the street. So if you're going to judge God harshly and not think and not understand the culture, not understand the commandments of God that were given out in that day, you could look at this thing and kind of wonder, like, how could God be so unfair? What's the life of a servant not worth as much as the life of an average person just because they're lower class? Are they not as important? And that's the knee-jerk reaction to this passage. But the problem with thinking of it that way is you're not understanding this text leaves out context. In other words, what's the story behind the story? You got to think for a minute about the abuse that could go on between servants. So if you got a bunch of servants that are on your property and it's your job to be in charge of that home and in charge of that property, and you got a bunch of people living out in a barracks together, let me ask you a question. You guys that have been in the military, put a bunch of young men in a barracks and how about jail? You know, you guys work in the jail. We used to have corrections officer in the church for a little while. And in the jail, there's all kinds of abuse. one servant against another. You got poor people all living together in one situation, and don't kid me, one's not going to lord it over the other. You got men out there, you got women out there, there's not going to possibly be a potential for abuse there. You got children there with adults there, there's not potential for abuse going on. So the context that's left out is, here's the owner smiting his servant. And what do you automatically think, because you've been brainwashed about this stuff by American society? You automatically see the rich guy out there beating the poor slave because he's not working hard enough, like Pharaoh was in Egypt. What we're forgetting in the context of this whole thing is that this is God's people, that there are judges set up in the land, that there's an authority over the owners of those servants and over the owners of those men servants and maid servants. These are God's people who are all commanded to be living under God's law. So if this owner is going so far as to smite somebody, he's executing a judgment. What kind of an owner would be smiting somebody who is abiding by the law, a God-fearing person, an Israelite? What would drive him to be smiting his servant? Something severe. He's receiving some kind of a judgment that under the law is to be exercised. So that's the problem with just jumping to conclusions when you're reading through here and going, oh, so it's okay to beat your servant. No, God's not saying that. He's saying if a man does. Can I tell you this? If I own a plantation and there's some guys out there, they're all, you know, lower class folks, and they're living on my property and they're working in my fields, and without that they'd be homeless. And I find out that one of them is pushing another one around, stealing his food from him, and there's other abuses that I need to be careful about with children in the room, but that kind of thing going on, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to discipline the guilty party. Now, here's the thing. If he dies under his hand, he shall surely be punished. So if he beats the guy so badly that he passes away, God says he's in trouble. He shall surely be punished, and God leaves it at that for right now. What's going to happen? Well, news that the servant dies gets passed up to the judges, and he gets pulled before the judges in the land, and the judges, with the law open, sit there and hear the case of this owner of the servants, and he says, okay, well, what was going on? Well, sir, I caught him raping somebody. Oh. Well, you took it a little too far. He wound up passing away. Well, I know, but the wound got infected and he died, or, you know, I realized that. I just lost my mind. All right, now there's a punishment going to be passed for this. So that man's, that owner of those servants did not just have a right to do whatever he wanted and just get away with it. Something happened that caused him to have to execute some kind of punishment, and it probably is something along those lines, and I'll show you why in a minute. You're not going to find these guys just out beating their servants, and there's a reason for it. God has checks and balances set in the law. So when you just read that one verse by itself, you go, wow, God's so harsh. But there's a series of checks and balances there that's going to stop this servant owner. Remember, we talked about the word slave is not used. Slave is used twice in the Bible under different contexts, and not by God for his people. Servants, which are lower class people that wouldn't be making it without their master, right? So God has checks and balances in place to make sure that they stay safe, and we'll see it in a minute. He says, notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. That's a strange verse, ain't it? What's it saying? It's saying, okay, he beat the guy, and the guy was all right, but maybe he had some kind of sick health, or some for some reason or another, he gets infection, he dies a day or two later. God's saying this, he wasn't trying to kill him. Some complication came. The guy died. He shall be quit, for he is his money. Here's the point, here's the checks and balances. It doesn't make any sense that a master would just start beating his servant. Not under God's economy, not under God's government, not under God's system, the way God had it set up for Israel. It made no sense at all, because that servant was living there with his needs met and taken care of, but that owner was making money off that servant. So the servant has rules and regulations he's to abide by. The owner has rules and regulations he's to abide by. The owner is making money off of him. And it costs the owner money when he gets sick to try to heal him. Why would he just go beat this guy at his own detriment? Something ain't right about this situation. So a servant has to really earn it. before they get a beating. I'll show it to you in verse 26. Watch this. If a man smite the eye of his servant, or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. Punches him in the face and messes his eye up. Hits him with a rod in the face. He can't see out of that eye, or that eye's messed up. He's free. If he smite out his manservant's tooth, the guy is driving him crazy and he punches him in the mouth. He's a hothead. He shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. Or his maidservant's tooth. He shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. He's saying, if you hurt this guy in such a way that's permanent, you permanently give him something that's better than what it was you took from him. You broke his tooth. He walks around like my Ava. She knocked her tooth out when she was like, 2 years old? Tripped and fell and hit her face on the edge of the bonk bed. It's always been called a bonk bed ever since then. I think it's because she bonked her face, you know? So it's the bonk bed. Knocked her tooth out, man. The whole thing was laying there, the one square end, and then the other end pointed like that with a little hair on it, like the nerve came out. I mean, she got over it just like that. It didn't stay in pain long. Like, just the nerve came out with it, I think. But I mean, you know, now the tooth is gone. Now she's thank God she's going to get her adult teeth in and all that's going to be all right. But you live like that the rest of your life in that culture, you tore him up, man. You defaced him. He can't see as good out of his eye or his eye goes blind. You messed him up. You do something permanent to him, you permanently give him his freedom. You lost your temper, that ain't right. You mistreated him, you let him go. You make it right. You make it right in a bigger way than you made it wrong. So let me ask you this question. If you're a servant and you want your freedom, you're one of those guys. Wouldn't you think, I know my master's got a hot head. I'm going to aggravate him until he hits me. Turn smiles because you can't put your face into his fist, you know. You know you're going to get left free. So there's a checks and balances here. A master's not just going to go off beating that servant because he's going to lose money, he's going to lose time. And if he did beat him, God's assuming, obviously, that something happened severe enough to where he had to have a judgment passed. Now let me ask you this question. If you got 30 or 40 or 50 or 100 servants out there and some kind of abuse goes on and one guy gets away with it, what's going to happen to your whole crew? That guy had to pass judgment. And if he doesn't, guess what happens? You know, you look at this text and you say, man, how horrible. Verse 17, you remember that? He cursed his father and mother shall surely be put to death. How horrible is that? You realize the cultures that are harder on their children, more, and I'm not advocating any kind of abuse, you know that. But the cultures where they teach, demand, insist on respect for adults, like the Asian cultures and some of the Eastern cultures, the Middle East and the Far East, you realize they do not have the juvenile detention problems that we have here in the U.S. or in some of the European countries? Sure. They don't have those problems. Why do you think that is? Let me ask you a question. If in Israel a kid got killed for cursing his mom or dad, how many kids do you think you'd see in juvie? None. How many parents are coming in for counseling to the preacher? We just can't get this kid under control. Nope, they're under control. They're scared to death to swing at their mom or dad. They're scared to death to cuss at their parents. Ain't going to do it. Why? Because under the law, they're dead. That's crazy, man. But I guarantee you there wasn't a whole lot of that going on. There wasn't a whole lot of them dying. Why? Because they knew the law. And to clean up a whole society. So in order for this guy to keep his plantation running well, for lack of a better way to put it, he's got to make sure he's judging them. Look at verse 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. All right, so if two guys are fighting, and it says if men strive and hurt a woman with child. So whether they just like jump a woman and punch her in the stomach or whatever, or they're fighting and they accidentally spill over and hit her, either way, I can see it both ways when I read it. Two guys are fighting, there's a pregnant woman there. And she gets hurt somehow or another by men striving, whether they're attacking her or just attacking each other or whatever. But her baby dies. It's a miscarriage. What's to happen? Yet no mischief follow. That means the baby dies, she miscarries, and her health is fine, and she continues with her life. What are they to do? He says, here's what he is to do. He's surely to be punished. How? According as the woman's husband will lay upon him. Daddy gets to say what your punishment is. Ouch. That's a scary situation, man. Notice it's not considered murder. It's considered murder when you kill a person. Her fruit depart from her, it's not considered murder. God says, Dad gets to say what happens to you. You messed them up. You messed up his wife emotionally. You messed up his family. Deal with them. I don't know that I'd want to be in those shoes. How about you? I pretty much guarantee you, I know how I'd judge it, man. I'd judge it as harshly as the judges would let me judge it. You can't be doing that. It was a mistake. I don't care. Some mistakes aren't okay. Amen. When they cost somebody else something or somebody else their life, your mistake's not all right. And we're going to get to that in a minute. All right? So here's what happens. He shall pay as the judges determine. So the husband gives a punishment. Don't know what to tell you. He gets to judge it. And then the judges put a fee on him, a fine on him, and he has to pay. Verse 23, if any mischief follow, then shalt thou give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. So here's what happens. He messes her up. She winds up somehow or another complications. She can't walk. I don't know. Guess what? You get to match her. His judgment is he gets to experience what it is he put on her the rest of her life. Now, what about that? You think about that. I mean, how could you even compare that in a modern day society? You abuse somebody, you beat them, you get abused, you get beaten. I mean, that's going to stop a lot of things, isn't it? That's going to stop a lot of crimes. A problem with our culture is we don't judge the sin harshly enough. And that's why it spreads so fast. And I know it seems so aggressive, it seems so terrible. But I mean, you take a guy, he abuses a woman. Why don't you just turn him? The judgment is her husband gets to do anything to you he wants to. Think that's going to continue going on? I mean, if he's too much of a pansy, then he can pay a real man to do the job. But you know, I mean, you get a few fingernails ripped out and your face smashed in for an hour or two, you're not going to have a whole lot of that going on. See, I mean, people should pay for what they do. And under the law, that's what you get. Aren't you glad you don't live under the law? If a man smite his servant, we already seen this one. The eye of his maid, that it perish. He should go free for his eye's sake. If he smite out his maidservant's tooth, his manservant's tooth, or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. So we already covered that. Now look at verse 28. If an ox gore a man or a woman, that they die, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner thereof shall be quit. So what's the situation here? This guy, for the first time ever, this ox gores a man. This is the first time. It's like a shock. It's basically like your pit bull just broke out of the yard and just ran down the road and attacked somebody and mauled somebody. And you are like, what in the world happened? That dog has never shown any signs of aggression. This has never happened before. What in the world? He's shocked. Then the ox is to be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner thereof shall be quit. So the owner is not responsible because that animal just went and did something crazy, and that's the first time it's ever happened. What do? Kill the animal. Why? Oh, that's my pet. I don't care. Kill the animal. Why? So that it never happens again. You don't want to take the chance on somebody else getting hurt. And he says, stone him and don't eat his flesh. Why not eat him? Why wouldn't you eat him? No, life of the flesh is in the blood. You're not supposed to eat it with the blood. They're supposed to slit the throat and let the blood drain out. But they killed it in a way that didn't drain the blood. So they couldn't eat it under the law. I think a second possibility may be the thing's rabid. Maybe it's diseased and God didn't want him getting sick. But I think the primary reason is the life of the flesh is in the blood. You kill it by stoning it, the blood's still in it. God wants that throat slit, the blood drained. You get the blood out, then you cook it, and then you eat it. Amen. So, and I was just thinking of a steak. That's why I said amen. My wife got me a tabletop grill. It's a really nice little flip lid thing, the round cylinder type for Father's Day. Man, then she bought me like a 2-inch thick ribeye. Oh, I just started thinking about that when I read that verse. Thing was awesome. It grilled absolutely perfectly. So praise the Lord. It was always the grill that was the problem. It wasn't my skills. Verse 29, but if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. Wow. Literally, I die because my pit bull mauled somebody? Yes. That pit bull killed somebody, you deserve to die. Why? Because it happened before. You've been warned. Somebody told you that dog was being aggressive. That dog had bit somebody before and messed him up, didn't kill him. But you didn't constrain that animal. You are responsible for the death of that person. How about that? God says, if he's been told, if you're a want to push with his horn in time past, it's like a pit bull that tend to bite. Yeah, he snapped before. Yeah, he's jumped somebody. He bit one kid, and you know the parents didn't get too mad. And he only got a couple stitches, no big deal. He were wont to do it, and it had been testified to the owner, and he hath not kept him in. What happened in verse 29? Negligence. That's a harsh punishment for negligence, isn't it? Yes, but let me ask you a question. Your negligence caused somebody else's death. You know what that makes the negligent person? Dangerous. I told you a while back how I was following some person all the way from 275 and 96 all the way up to my exit, and they were on their cell phone the whole time. I got you one worse than that. This happened to me this last week. There's a guy it might have been a 250, but it was an older pickup truck, and he had a huge car hauling trailer, not the kind where you just put the front ends up, but the kind where it sits right on the car, comes right up on the trailer. Huge car hauling trailer behind him. He probably should not have been pulling with that truck. The shocks and struts didn't look any good on that truck at all, and it was not equipped to do that. And there was a van loaded on that trailer, and one of the back wheels had been broken and kind of sat underneath the car like that, and the van was all lean like this. It was up on that trailer crooked, and it was sitting too far back. It wasn't sitting far enough over the axles. And he was out, I mean, I was behind him for miles, and I started backing up until I could get a clear path to pass him on the far right because it was that dangerous. He was, for miles on 96, headed west. He was running all the way off the road, almost hitting the concrete barriers and rumble strips and everything. And then he coming all the way back in, and then he's coming all the way over the car in the middle lane. I had to swerve and get over to go around him, and he stayed in their lane. Like, his trailer was all the way over, halfway into the next lane, and back in like that, and then he'd go good for a little while, and then it would be way off. And I'm not talking a little off, I'm talking way off. And when he realized he was off, he'd just jerk it back into the, you know, not be gradual, and the thing was and that van was sitting there going vroom, 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 like that. And I'm going, oh my goodness, I'm going to watch somebody die. I thought, he is drunk or as high as a kite, man. So I finally got my chance, and I blew by him in the far right lane. And guess what he was doing? He was on his phone. He wasn't talking on his phone, looking out the window. He was scrolling with his thumb, looking down like that. That goes, not to correct you, brother, but that goes beyond dumb. That is horrible, criminal level negligence. That is criminal level. Let's say my wife is coming by on the Durango, right when he's looking at whatever Facebook post or whatever's got him so addicted and preoccupied he can't put his phone down, God only knows. And he comes across there and smashes into the Durango and flips it over, and my wife and kids die or wind up paralyzed. Should he just walk away? Should he get to go live out the rest of his life in a jail cell watching TV and cracking up with the guys? No. He deserves capital punishment. Think about that for a minute. Yeah, you know, that's awfully harsh. Yeah, until it's your wife and kids that get killed. Until it's your mother that gets smashed. Now all of a sudden you see it a little differently. You know what God's saying? Be responsible. I'll tell you this story because, you know, come across too harsh sometimes, and I'll show you I do have an understanding and compassionate side because it applies to me. we all get stupid, you know? When I was younger, I was just nutty, like crazy stupid. Like, I never felt like I was ever going to die, you know? I'm talking like early, mid-20s. I was nowhere near as responsible as some of these guys are, mature. That's crazy, man. I sold this old beater car that I had to a family member, $300 or something like that. He came and picked it up for me, and on his way home in the old beater car, the brake line exploded. He couldn't hardly stop. He's pushing the brake all the way to the floor. And just whoosh, whoosh. He called me furious. What's the matter with you, man? I'm like, didn't you notice? Yeah, it didn't feel right, but you know, hey, whatever. I just keep going until I have to fix it. You know, I don't have the money to fix it anyhow. Thinking nothing of it. Now, what would have happened if he'd have gotten killed? Or if he'd have T-boned somebody else through an intersection and killed their kid? And he just bought it off me. It's not like it was his responsibility. He was going to fix it up because I wasn't taking good care of my stuff, man. Oil changes, whatever. What's that? You know? They leak oil, you just dump more in there. You know what I'm saying? Just keep going, you know? I mean, I had one car, man. I ran on the grace of God. I'm not kidding you. It ran on the grace of God. We'd just gotten married. It was a Dodge Dynasty. When you started up, man, it would just send a cloud of white smoke behind you. I guess the stinking engine, I don't know mechanics or stuff, but something in there was cracked or whatever because I ran it out of oil more than once and it overheated. It kept running, man. I just swear it was God, a host of angels encamped around about me. God's like, we got to keep this idiot safe or he's going to kill himself and everybody else around him. Just a stinking moron, man. I mean, I literally am the guy that blew up a 5-gallon gas can in my hand. 100% in my hand, this happened. Singed my eyebrows, singed the hair all off my arm. Well, I mean, I'm trying to light a fire at the boss's house. He had me out there working his yard, which I didn't want to do. It was like, you know, there's no work, so send me home. He's being a good boss, giving us stuff to do, which made me mad when I was single. It's like, I don't need the money this bad, you know. I can sleep in my car. I'm cool. So he's like, I got out there, you know, here I am doing all his chores. I was mad. I raked them all up into a big pile, and I was trying to light the thing, and there's a little flame down there, but it wasn't getting going. I'm not good with fire. You should hire me in the fire department, brother. Talk to them guys and get me in, because when I go near a fire, it goes out. I can't light a fire to save my life. So I figured a way that works. I grabbed his gas can, and I just walked up there. It still had the tube on it and everything, man. I didn't take the lid off. I just took that thing, threw it on there, and the flame hit that flame, and it ran right up that stream, boom, right there in my hand, just like that. I mean, everybody in the yard heard it. It was so loud. I threw that thing in the air and screamed like a girl, man. Scare you half to death. Can I say this? And oh, it's stupid. It was a dumb move. I know better, right? I've done all the tricks with, you know, you pour it into a paper cup and you throw the gas on the fire from a distance, you know. Sometimes that spills when you go to throw that open lid and it'll run right back to you. My mother-in-law was telling me about somebody, a family member, something, extended family member, something died like that. It ran right back to that stream and lit him on fire, and he wound up burned over so much of his body, they got him to the hospital and he eventually passed away. Negligence can kill you. Negligence can kill somebody else. You got to think about that. Think about how that applies to your Christian life. Just be negligent. How about your marriage? Just be negligent. Don't watch out. Don't take good heed. Don't be careful. Don't look. Don't double check. And what could happen? People could die spiritually, physically, and otherwise. You got to be careful. And guess what? Negligence is no excuse. This man pays with his life because he didn't control his ox. Or he didn't put the thing to death when he knew it was wont to push. Verse 30. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. So, the family member says, all right, you know, his ox did it. He didn't do it. He was being negligent. I'll tell you what, I'll take $1 million. It's a lawsuit. So if the man says, well, there's no way I can come up with that kind of money. I can't even set up payments. I can't do it. Okay, you die. Or he says, all right, judge, I'll agree to the terms. Okay, then you pay to live. It's a ransom for his life. Since he didn't personally do it, he has an escape. And what's the escape? The lawsuit. Pay the lawsuit. Verse number 31. Whether you have gored a son or have gored a daughter. See, it's showing you right there in the context that this is the family suing him. According to this judgment, shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. So the guy's ox pushes somebody else's manservant or maidservant. He pays the owner, and he kills the ox. Why wouldn't it be quite as aggressive in this situation? Well, let me ask you this question. Who's more likely to accidentally get pushed by an ox? The people working with him every day or the average Joe? The people working with him. So there's a greater chance for there to be an accident in this situation. So God's fair about this stuff. And he says if it was one of the servants working, then you pay the owner for the servant 30 shekels of silver. I'm going to show you in a minute. 30 shekels of silver was the price of a servant. You pay for the servant, and you stone that ox. That ox dies. It cannot live because it killed somebody. All right? Verse 33. If a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. All right? So here's what happens. This guy digs a pit, and he's not responsible to cover it up. Again, he's negligent. He's not looking out and taking good care of stuff. It bothers me, it worries me when a neighbor kids come play in my yard. I worry about that. Why? I make sure there's nothing out there a kid can get hurt on other than normal life. Why? Because if I'm negligent and somebody else's kid gets hurt in my yard, that's my responsibility. It's not all about lawsuits and stuff. We got insurance nowadays. It's about that's my responsibility. Their kid got hurt. If I know I got a bunch of cabinets sitting in my garage that are just tore down and they may be some nails in them, I try to bend them over before I take them out and look real good. But some of it, you know, might be a piece of nail and a trim. I say, you guys can't go in the garage. Shut the garage door. Stay out of there. Why? I don't want somebody getting hurt. That's my negligence. See, I got to think that stuff through and be careful about that stuff. You know, fixing your brakes is not all about you. Fixing your brakes is all about everybody else. How about that? You want to kill yourself? Kill yourself. It's your problem. I mean, it does affect your family, so it's not exclusively you, but you know what I mean. I'm not advocating you to go commit suicide. But I'm saying if it's just you that's going to get hurt, that's one thing. But it's not just you. And God cares about that stuff. Interesting. So here's what he says. The owner of the pit shall make it good. How does he make it good? Give money unto the owner of them, and guess what? The dead beast that died with its blood in it, that ain't any good to eat, you got to dispose of it. You take care of it. You get it off his hands. If one man's ox hurt another's that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it. And the dead ox also shall they divide. So, one man's ox hurts another. Two ox out in the field get into a fight. You know this can happen. Duh. They're animals, and sometimes certain animals won't get along. My wife goes out to a horse farm there, and there'll be some in that pasture and some in that pasture, and I'm like, why are they separated? Oh, they don't get along with them. He doesn't get along with that one. So they know they're going to fight. They split them up, right? All right, so two ox get into a fight. What do? The guy who owns the ox that did the killing, he sells it. Why? To share the money with the other guy. Because my ox killed your ox. So your ox is dead. I have to go ahead and pay 50% of that price because your ox was fighting my ox, but my ox got the better of them. Sorry about your luck, but to make it fair, it'll be fair. We sell my ox, we split the money, and then the dead ox, we divide it. The dead ox also, shall they divide. Equal responsibility for taking care of that situation because it was a pretty equal deal. There was a fair chance it could have gone either way. Neither guy is responsible. It was neither guy's fault. Both guys had to suffer to some extent because both eyes oxes were involved in it. Throughout high school, I got in quite a bit of trouble. It always rolled back or almost always rolled back to some kind of a fight. Guess what happened? Because I was my dad's son, my dad got drug into it. Like it or not. My dad had nothing to do with it. I mean, one particular guy, I mean, a big guy too, man. He'd have killed me if I hadn't been able to be quick and think quick. He was coming to football tackle me. He was 6 foot in 11th grade, 12th grade. and he was going to football tackle me. He was a football player, got kicked out of the public school. His parents put him in our school, so hoping it would reform him, you know. And we were in the bathroom, and he started talking junk, and he had a crush on my sister, and he was saying stuff, and so I was scared to death, but I'm not going to let him do that. So I shoved him, you know, and he's like, oh, you want to go? And he shoved me, and so I shoved him back, you know, harder. And so he came, he dropped like that, and he came running at me, dropped his shoulder. He was going to football tackle me into the wall. And I slapped his head down like that and jumped up and went that way with my hand, so his head was sticking out there, and straightened my back up like that, and I was in the air going that way. But I straightened up like that. His head went right through the drywall. And I felt nothing, man. And it was so cool because I looked like I won the fight. But, man, I was dead. You understand? I was dead. But I just happened to get out of the way and hang on for dear life. And wham! You know, he hit his knees. And I, uh-oh. And we both looked. He stood up, grabbed his head. Oh, man. There was a perfectly round hole in the drywall in the bathroom from his head. So here's my dad after work. Had to buy the mud, had to buy the drywall, had to cut it, had to screw it in, had to mud it, had to tape it, had to go back the next day when it was dry, had to paint it. And he, I remember him sitting there, I'm a pastor, I mean, you can't believe this. He was so mad at me. He made me be there. I was his laborer for the whole thing. And it happened again another time. Shoved a guy in the hallway. He pushed me, and I grabbed him, slammed him into the wall like that. His back went right through the wall, right between the studs. How come the idiots could never hit a stud? You know, that would have been perfect. It would have been no problem. He'd have been knocked out cold, no nothing to fix. I'm like, yeah, I was just trying to stay alive, that's all. Right through in between the studs. There's Dad back in the school, cutting the drywall, fixing the thing. Just, if he could have cussed, he would have. He probably was when I wasn't there, or when I wasn't listening. He was so mad. It wasn't his fault. But guess what it was? It was his son. So God's saying the same thing. Hey, it wasn't your fault, but your ox killed his ox. You got to pay, man. I've been thinking about that lately. You know, things get more expensive as the kids get older. Can I get an amen? It's crazy, ain't it? It just doesn't stop. And then you got to think about this. I was thinking the other day, like, they haven't started driving yet. My insurance is going to go through the roof, right? And then it hasn't been. Now it's little stuff like, Daddy, I think I broke the basement window. What do you mean you think you broke the basement window? Just say, Dad, I broke the basement window. You know, that is one window. I mean, we've had another one crack that we had to replace. But, you know, not too bad. It could be much worse. But, you know, and I don't even have boys. Those of you with boys, good luck to you. But, you know, it's going to be, Dad? Yes? This is Anna. What? I just rear-ended somebody. You know, that's what we got coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's great, honey. What were you doing? Texting? You're dead. You know? But guess what? Under your oversight, your responsibility, you pay. That ain't fair, man. Teach your kids and teach your cows and teach your ox and teach your dog and make sure everything's under control. Amen. As much as possible, minimize these issues. Hallelujah. Anyhow, last verse, and then I want to show you something, and we'll be done in just a couple minutes. Or if it be known that the ox hath used to push in times past, and his owner hath not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own. There it is. So now this is not just two random ox not getting along. This is one guy owns an aggressive ox. His dog tends to be aggressive, and he didn't control his dog, and his dog attacked the other dog at the dog park and killed it. All right, now what? Now you pay the full price and you get rid of the dead one. Getting rid of a dead ox is probably a lot of work. And so he's God saying, zero burden on that guy. It's your fault. You get rid of his ox and you pay him 100% so he can go buy a new one. What about me? You lost the money for an ox. That's how much you paid. So you got to go buy yourself a new one too. Sorry about your luck, man. You paid for two. Rough stuff. But fair. Now, here's the most interesting thing. You notice back here, and I told you, the Lord's all over your Bible. And it's real easy to overlook. It's real easy not to see Jesus Christ, but he's here. First of all, you see back there in verse 32, if an ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. So a manservant that gets killed by an ox is worth how much money? Some of you are smiling. You know what I'm talking about. Go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. Look at verse 1. Matthew 27, 1. And when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the what? 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Blood still in him. No blood shed. What did he pay for Jesus Christ? The price of a manservant. That was God. He took upon him the lowest form. Philippians, what is it, 2? Took upon him the form of a servant. Jesus Christ did not even take himself upon himself the form of your average Israelite. He took upon himself the form of a servant. And to make matters even worse and to prove it even more to you than in Exodus 21, it's a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Go to Psalms chapter 22. How much was paid for him? The price of a manservant. Now look at Psalms 22. How did he die? Now throughout your Bible, I've showed you this before, especially in the Revelation series, that a horns in your Bible is a type of power, right? Everybody remember that? Horns is a type of power. The horn of an ox, the power of an ox, a bull, kills a manservant. How was Christ killed? Psalms chapter 22. Look down with me at verse, look at verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me unto the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. That's your Gentiles. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They've pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. You know what that is? That's a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 21. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns. See the power? The horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. You know how Christ was killed? By the horns of the bulls. Demons, devils of hell, bulls of Bashan. Exodus chapter 21 is a prophecy that God's given you in the Old Testament law, saying if his ox pushes a manservant, you would pay 30 shekels of silver for that manservant. That's the price paid for Jesus Christ. And what do you do with the ox? Stone him. Those ox are going to pay the price. The devil and his imps are going to pay the price for crucifying Jesus Christ, for persecuting Jesus Christ. And what's the price? Eternity in the lake of fire. Hell was prepared for them. And what you got over there in Exodus 21 is a prophecy of Jesus Christ telling you how he was going to die on a supernatural level and how much was going to be paid for him in his death. The price of a manservant. Jesus Christ is in all the book. You can't go anywhere and escape it. I mean, I don't see how an Old Testament Jew could sit back there and look at that law and not see Jesus. The proofs were all over. On Sunday morning, we were talking about Apollos and how he was mighty in the scriptures and he convinced them. How'd he do it? Going all the way back through these Old Testament stuff and these writings of Moses and showing them Jesus over and over and over and over and over again. Folks, it is impossible for men to have sat down and wrote those things and have known the price that was going to be paid and the supernatural occurrences that were going to be happening. There's no way. Even if they could figure out the price, even if they could figure out the judgments, even if they could figure out the things that were going to happen to him in the flesh, there's no way they could have seen the spiritual world. And Christ said it in Psalm 22, and it's exactly what happened. He was gored by some ox. Isn't that something? And that wraps up Exodus 21. We'll go ahead and be dismissed, and we'll get into Exodus 22 next week. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for showing Jesus Christ all the way through this book. Thank you for what he paid for us. And Lord, it's astounding that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would allow himself to be treated as though he was a manservant. And yet he did. And he did it because he loved us. I pray you'd help us to leave here tonight, Lord, loving you a little more, loving your word a little more, having a little more respect and reverence for this book. Help us to realize how just, how fair, how wonderful you are, and to love you more. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.